Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, presented by the Keystone Sports Network. As always, you can find all of our Penn State football podcast. I meant content. I kind of mixed the words.
Your heart's in the right place, Andy.
I've been off for a couple weeks.
Your heart's in the right place.
I have a little stutter. It's our content and podcast. You can find them on our website, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. Or better yet, download our app, Keystone Sports, from the App Store on your phone. If you haven't done so, do that already. You can stream our content anytime there. If you don't have our app, you're not doing it right. He's Bob Flounders. I'm Andy Shea. Welcome in, everybody. Bob, how you doing?
Good. I can't believe that spring is it goes by pretty quick. I mean, I know it's not long to begin with, but it's nice to settle into a routine. You get a little availability every week, and James is pretty he's in his fifth year, and you can kind of read him a little bit. So I think I know what he's happy about, and I think I know what he's a little bit concerned about.
And we're going to talk about some of that coming up in the full hour of this show. We've got news and notes to kick off for you. Quarter number two's Tucker's Tape, brought to you by GoPSURV.com. Ask Ross, with Bob stepping in this week. Brought to you by 409 Tailgate Club. That powers quarter number three. And we'll close out with some unanswered questions.
We might even have a guest question asker.
A guest, a Penn State.
I think that's the correct term.
Guest question.
I don't know if that's hyphenated.
Asker. Yeah. What would it modify? So anyway, let's not... And we're going to close out our show with what I think is going to be a fun segment. We're going to do some unanswered questions that I got for you for Penn State moving forward out of spring. So let's get going. I want to talk about some individual players real quick that some stuff came out about. Ryan Bates is on the move again. To a degree, this is no surprise. He's been working at left tackle. Does that surprise you?
Not really. The only thing that was a little illuminating was this week, Penn State shoots their own like in-house videos, and they have the assistant coaches talking about the position group and who's looking good and
right.
who's you know, surprised. And a lot of it is, you know, they talk about a lot of players. But when Matt Limegrover was asked about the offensive line, and you're right, he was running at first team left tackle the last two media availabilities. Will Fries was running second team. But Matt said one thing is that what people didn't realize is when he got hurt against Ohio State, he eventually came back. I think he came back midway through the Maryland game, and then he played in the Fiesta Bowl, but he didn't start in either game. It was right tackle, Chaz Wright, and it was Will Fries at left tackle. Matt said he was hurt a little bit more than people realized, and he was never right after he got hurt with the lower leg injury at Ohio State. And just watching him move around now, he looks like he's in really good condition. And I mean, I thought all along that Will Fries was going to be one of the best five, and he still might be, but I think Ryan Bates is definitely now one of the best five. I think it's Gonzalez, McGovern, Bates. The key is, what do they want to do at right tackle? Is it going to be Will Fries who can play there?
Chaz Wright?
Is it going to be Chaz Wright? But every time the first team's been out there, when we've been able to watch it, it's been Chaz Wright. So, you know, just remember last year at this time, Steven Gonzalez was a second-team guy, and it looked like he was in the doghouse.
Right.
And he was a fairly effective player for them last year. But Ryan Bates, I think, he and Michael Mennett are healthy, and they're feeling their oats. And I think Matt Limegrover is pretty happy with, I think, his top, like, eight guys on the offensive line.
And Ryan Bates is versatile enough that – and he's proven that on the field. He's played left guard. He's played left tackle. He's played right tackle. He can play anywhere, and I'm not talking about the next level. His versatility is an asset for Penn State, that they can use him that way and shuffle him around. But each position is uniquely different. Are you seeing or do you think there's a detriment to this moving around, or do you think he's locked in at left tackle now?
I wouldn't say he's locked in. I just think that they're trying to cross-train all these offensive linemen. James talked about it. They recruit linemen who they think
Correct.
They can cross-train.
Cross-train them.
And I think one of the reasons why Michael Mennett's get a lot of run with the first team is they want to see what he can do. They want to see him practice every day, because I think that's been an issue in the past. But I think they know what they have in Ryan, and I think they know what they have in Gonzalez. They like McGovern. And I think they want to see Michael Mennett practice with the first team all spring to see what he can do, see what he, see if he can develop. And I think in the middle of August, they're going to settle on their best five. And just, they got to have three tackles. They have to. They need a swing tackle. So
they need a swing tackle, yeah.
So I don't know that Chaz Wright's ever going to play left tackle. And if he is playing left tackle, it's going to be bad.
Yeah.
But I think they feel good that they have two left tackles and they have three right tackles. All three guys can play right tackle.
Right.
And they have two left tackles. And they're just going to figure it out. The offensive line, if it's not the best version since James Franklin has got, I'd be stunned. I really would. They're looking good, and
got plenty of dudes.
They're going to need
11.
They're going to need a little bit more, I think, from the offensive line because of what they're missing at the skill positions.
I don't disagree. All right, the quest to find somebody, the new middle linebacker of the week. First, it was Micah Parsons. Then it was Ellis Brooks. Now they're taking a look at Cam Brown. And your thoughts on it?
They don't have a middle linebacker.
It tells you
That's exactly what it tells you.
That's exactly what it tells you.
James wouldn't even list the guys they're looking at middle linebacker because I really think they're going to have some long, hard talks. And he also said, so they have two box linebackers and they have the field linebacker, and that's Koa. So he said any one of the guys that are working at those two box positions could be the middle linebacker.
Right.
I know Ross believes in Jan Johnson, and I think – rightly so. He was a big Brandon Smith fan, and he was a good player. I just don't think they've seen enough from a guy to give them the position. And I think that's why James said, they're going to wait till the middle of August, I think, to make a call. The other thing I think that's working in their favor is I think they feel really good about their secondary because of the depth. And even though they lost all those starters, with John Reed coming back, with Tariq Castro-Fields looking like he's going to be a really good player, and Nick Scott, I think, if I had to say one player who's been like the star of spring, I think it's him. I really do. It's not just people talking about him. You watch him. He's led the team in interceptions. The reason I bring it up is I think that the middle linebacker position is a little bit devalued now in college football because they're going to be in the 4-2-5. I saw Lamont Wade working with the first team defense in like a little bit of a like the slot position.
In the field linebacker position.
No. Well, no, so he'd be the slot corner. He'd be the fifth defensive back.
Gotcha.
But I think I think he's a top option, but they're just not going to work John Reed at all there.
Well,
I think ultimately it's John Reed inside at the inside cover in the slot, and it'll be Amani and Tariq Castro-Fields outside.
And
anyway, I think that you're going to see a lot of two linebacker sets for Penn State.
Well, that's what I was saying. The game's already transitioning to more of a 4-2-5 look on defense. And first of all, you don't need a traditional middle linebacker. If you have somebody, then you can adjust your defense for it. You can try and run that on obvious running situations and hide that player. But 4-2-5 is what Penn State should be running more often based on its personnel. Based on their personnel, with what they have in the defensive backfield, and the guys they have at the linebacker position, Brooks, Parsons, throw in Jesse Luketa, Cam Brown, Cole Farmer, Jan Johnson. They have options to run five or six linebackers as a two-guy set. So why put the pressure on the third one? I say just go 4-2-5 and start listing the double linebacker.
The last five good inside linebackers at Penn State one just retired from the NFL, Paul Posluszny, and four of them are still playing. Michael Mowdy, Mike Hull, Navarro Bowman, and Sean Lee. Now, who else would make that list? I just think that that's a product of how good they really were, but also kind of the way the game has changed. You're trying to get speedy guys on the field, and if you look at the schedule, maybe other than Pitt, maybe other than Michigan State, you don't see a lot of guys
coming straight at
lining
you
up with a fullback saying, and that's what the middle linebacker's there for.
That is what the middle linebacker is there for. So it's more about open spaces. All right, you're listening to the Keystone Kickoff Show, presented by the Keystone Sports Network. We are on air, online, and on TV with Fox 43. When it comes to Penn State football, we got you covered. Quarter number one, we're kicking off this week. He's Bob Flounders. He's Penn State football beat writer from Penn Live and the Patriot News. I'm Andy Shea. We're chatting some news and notes. To the surprise of no one, James made it official that Nick Tarburton is headed for a red shirt. He didn't actually say that, but he's headed for a red shirt because he is officially going to be a defensive lineman, starting him at defensive end.
No room at the end there. There's no room at the end.
Welcome to your red shirt year. This is your one moment that you get coach mentioning you. Now you will be in the you're redshirting because they have like 9 defensive ends to choose from. I joke saying that, but they have plenty of options at defensive end. He's not a neater one. He came in at what, 260 something?
263.
260 something, and then he went on some kind of diet because he wanted to give himself a shot at linebacker. And he and Ross has said, our Ross Tucker has said all along, that guy's a defensive lineman. Look at him.
Yeah.
He's not a linebacker. Look at his body. And you can't hide genetics. You
in 2 years, so if he's at 280 pounds, he might be a 3 technique.
And he's athletic.
I just don't know. But yeah, the thing about the Penn State defensive line is that's another group that they're not interchangeable, but if you look at what they've done, Robert Windsor dropped 23 pounds. He's going to be the nose tackle at 280 unless he gains some weight back. Kevin Givens is probably their best overall defensive lineman. Sean Spencer pretty much said that. And he can play inside or outside.
He's our most versatile defensive lineman. Buchholz
can play inside or outside. Right. He's lost some more weight. They have Sharif Miller. Shaka Toney can't put weight on. So they roughly have about 10 freakish athletes who could play inside or outside.
I said
Nick
9,
Tarburton might be a good defensive lineman, but he's going to be a work in progress, and that's probably good for
him. That's a good thing for him, yeah.
Also, before we wrap up this segment, I just want to say that on the heels of the blue-white game, let's not forget about what's coming next week in Dallas.
NFL draft.
Yeah, the NFL draft. Saquon Barkley was just on the cover of SI. Apparently doesn't want to go to Cleveland. He'll go to Cleveland if the price is right, but I'm gonna do a story next week on how many Penn State players can really get drafted, and it's gonna be a high number, and you have to go back a long time to see a number this big at Penn State. I'm excited about that.
We'll talk about the NFL draft on next week's show because I love the NFL draft. All right, a couple quick news and notes things before we get out. Blue White's always a big recruiting weekend under the new NCAA mandated rules that allow official visits now starting in the beginning of April running through June. A lot of 2019 high prospects on Penn State's list will be in State College on Saturday for the Blue-White game, including defensive end Zach Harrison, who is ranked number one defensive end in the country. 247 has him number one overall. He's consensus top 1, 2, or 3 player in the country, as well as a bevy of others. It's going to be a huge recruiting weekend. Expect a commitment or two. They generally are going to get them. There's probably going to be 175, 200 kids up there between 19 and 20 and all the recruiting. And there's going to be 2 lanes this weekend, one for the official visits and one for the unofficial visits. So just keep that in mind. So that'll do it for quarter number one. Coming up, Tucker's Tape. Bob and I got some interesting conversation about the blue-white game coming up for you. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
160,000 miles. That's on average how often you'll use your car insurance. But what if you could get help with more often? Maybe save a couple of bucks on clothes or at restaurants. What if you could even get rescued roadside when a tire goes flat or your battery dies? You can, when you're a member and your auto insurance is AAA. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about how AAA works at every mile.
Hey Keystone Sports Nation, it's Scott Shirley, the Executive Director of Uplifting Athletes, inviting you to join us for the annual Gridiron Gala Saturday, June 9th in downtown Harrisburg at the Keystone Building. Features all-you-can-eat and drink, tailgate food, and special guests including Devin Still, former Penn State All-American and NFL star, and most importantly, the father of Leah, who courageously beat her rare cancer and inspired millions. Visit upliftingathletes.org to learn more and help us tackle rare diseases. Hope to see you there.